praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee faithfully served the Lord for more than 7 decades, co-laboring with Watchman Nee in China in the first half of the 20th century, before continuing his ministry in Taiwan, later in America, and eventually over the entire earth. He spoke these weekly life study messages before thousands of people, and much of his speaking has been published as over 400 titles. These life studies are perhaps his most significant work, taking 21 years for him to complete, and we're happy today to be able to bring you selected portions from those messages. If you'd like to find out more about his ministry, about the life studies themselves, and Living Stream Ministry, please visit our website, lsm.org. Now let's join today's program. One item that seems to interest all believers is the rapture of the Christians at the time of the Lord's second coming. The prevailing thought among believers today is that the rapture rescues all the saved ones so that they do not have to pass through the suffering associated with the Great Tribulation. But the Bible, if you read it carefully, just does not support such a view, because it depicts aspects of the rapture taking place at different times. In history, these passages have led to confusion and strong disputing between brothers and sisters in the Lord. We will touch some of these confusing matters today. And if the Lord is merciful, we'll be brought into a clearer view of these very crucial matters. Bob Danker has joined us for our program. Bob, welcome back.
It's good to be back, Chris. This matter that we're going to talk about on our program today is indeed a crucial one, and we do need some real enlightenment to see the real implication of these verses here in Luke.
Bob, we are in the last half, if our listeners are following along, of Luke chapter 21. Before we get right to the rapture directly and some of the things associated with it in this passage, there's a portion that I want to read and ask you to comment on, because it does help put us at this present time into a context that we have some urgency to discover the truth related to the rapture. And I hope that was not confusing. I'm talking about the parable related to the fig tree, and we are in Luke 21 and verse 29. And he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you see it, and know of yourselves that the summer is already near. So also you, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you that this generation shall by no means pass away until all things happen. Bob, review this important parable for us a little bit.
Well, Chris, the fig tree here signifies the nation of Israel. In the Old Testament, God does refer to the nation of Israel as a fig tree. So this fig tree, as we read in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 21, it was cursed by the Lord when he was entering into Jerusalem. He saw the fig tree full of leaves but with no fruit, which signifies that the nation of Israel at that time was full of outward activities, signified by the leaves, but no real fruit that could satisfy God. So the Lord Jesus cursed that fig tree. That was a curse pronounced on the nation of Israel. Well, that nation, as we know, has been suffering that curse ever since that day, until 1948, when the nation of Israel, Israel as a sovereign state,
right,
was reborn almost out of nowhere. This was a sign of the fig tree putting forth leaves. That means life had come back, and this fig tree had become active again. This is a sign, the Lord says, of the summer, which signifies here the coming of the kingdom of God in the millennium, which will be the full restoration of the kingdom of Israel as the kingdom of the Messiah, the messianic kingdom. So now that this has taken place, Chris, we know that the coming of the millennial kingdom with the Lord's second coming preceding it is not far away from us today.
So that brings us to the matter of the rapture, the coming of the Lord the second time, and it does make it very immediate to those of us living on the earth today. This is not, we don't know when, we don't know the hour exactly, but we do know, according to both Matthew 21 and 24, and here in Luke 21, that the time is near. All right, Bob, let's focus now on what we want to talk about today. The age in which we find ourselves seems to match the Lord's word both in chapter 17, when he talked about the days of Noah with the excess in the matters of eating and drinking. And now he picks up this same point again in chapter 21 in verse 34. But take heed to yourselves, lest perhaps your hearts be weighed down with debauchery and drunkenness and the anxieties of life, and that day come upon you suddenly as a snare. For it will come in upon all those dwelling on the face of the earth. And these three words, Bob, really jumped out at me today. Debauchery, drunkenness, and anxiety. This is a very apt description of the age in which we live, isn't it?
It certainly is, Chris.
Sober.
Very sobering.
Let's go to Witness Lee.
In this prophecy, in chapter 21, three verses together, 34, 35, and 36, these three verses are crucial. Verse 34, take heed to yourself, lest at some time your heart will be weighed down. Something too heavy that will weigh you down. Your heart will be weighed down with what? With dissipation and drunkenness. Dissipation and drunkenness here refers to our indulgence of our lustful self in the enjoyment of overeating and overdrinking and anxieties of life. When I was a little kid, 70 years ago, the earth was not like today. Just within these 70 years, my goodness, the tide of human race on this earth has changed a great deal. In what way? Just in the dissipation and drunkenness. And the anxiety of life never been so much as today. On the one hand, humankind are struggling for the enjoyment of their life. On the other hand, they suffer anxieties. When I was young, 70 years ago, I didn't hear so much high blood pressure, the heart attack. And I've heard these kind of things. Why? Because people just were easy. Not much indulgence in all the lustful things as today. Not much anxiety. But look at the struggling today for the indulgence. Even now, the neighbors and the classmates and the colleagues, they compete in everything. They struggle. And they suffer the anxiety of life. So heart attack, hypertension, all the things came up. This will be a snare to all those dwelling on the face of all the earth, not only America. Whatever there in New York, the next day will be in Hong Kong, Nigeria, in Brazil, everywhere.
Bob, remarkable. I was searching there as he was speaking to see the date that he spoke this message. It was July 6th, 1984. 17 years, almost exactly. And he was remarking how things had changed in the 70 years prior. Now we have another 17 years since, and I would say we would have to all admit it has even escalated, spiraled at a faster pace, hasn't it?
I would agree with that completely, Chris. Of course, I wasn't here 70 years ago, and neither were you, but we have seen the escalation of the struggling among the human race to satisfy the desires, the lusts of their fallen self. This is mankind's struggle today, how to satisfy his lustful desires. And this struggle brings about an intense competition on this earth among the human race, and this creates anxiety.
Right.
And this anxiety gives rise to all kinds of diseases, which Witness Lee mentioned here, heart disease, hypertension, all kinds of things come out of the anxieties of life. Man today is anxious, mainly because man has decided to live his life apart from God and no longer enjoys God and all that he can be to us. So he has to find replacements for God. And of course, this brings him into a tremendous struggle with anxiety. This is the age in which we are living. And today we need to be aware of this. The age in which we are living is like it was in the days of Noah. And we know that God came in those days and made a crucial decision that he was going to judge that generation with a flood. Well, today we are not in peril of a flood, but we are in peril of the great tribulation, the last 3.5 years of this age, which will be a great trial to those who dwell on the earth, and also, like the flood, a judgment of God on this evil generation in which we are living.
Bob, now we began the program with a pretty, provocative introduction regarding the rapture and the stages of the rapture that we're going to come to at the end of the program. Now we're going to start connecting it. He mentioned 3 verses. I only read 2 before. The third in that sequence is verse 36, which says, "But be watchful at every time, beseeching that you would prevail to escape all these things which are about to happen and stand before the Son of Man." And the point that we do want to draw our listeners' attention to here is that if it were just a matter of being saved, born again, there would be no need to be watchful and beseeching, because we'd know we'll just go when the rapture comes and we'll be spared all that awaits us. But according to the context here, Bob, this is to God's people, to be watchful and even beseeching that we could escape.
That's right, Chris. This is a word to all of us who believe in the Lord Jesus.
Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Verse 36. Be watchful. Be watchful. Keep your eyes open. Be vigilant. Don't be stupefied. Don't be drugged. Be watchful. At every time beseeching, that means praying. Praying particularly, not in general way, that you may prevail. To prevail means to have strength and ability. This strength and ability to escape the great tribulation comes from watchfulness and beseeching. Don't be snared by the tide of today's world. But how could you escape a tide? How could you have the strength, the ability to escape such a trend? By being watchful and beseeching. You must be watchful and praying, particularly, that you may prevail to escape. To escape, this is a strong word. I hope that you will spend much time on these 3 verses together, 34, 35, and 36. You could see the trend on this earth among human race is downhill. And the trend is quite strong. It becomes a tide. It is not just a trend. It becomes a tide. You know, when the tide comes, it carries away everything. So it is hard for us, the believers of Christ, to stand right in the midst of the tide. It's not so easy. Not so easy. Yet, we have to be watchful. And we have to pray, particularly every day, that we may receive the strength that comes from the resurrection life within us. Then we can stand against the tide. We will not be snared by the trend of this age. Then we'll be full of Christ. We'll be like balloons full of air. Then we will be buoyant. Right? We'll be raptured.
Oh, a very hopeful word, although in a sober context, Bob. If we are believers that are indistinguishable from the unbelievers in how we're living our life, caught up in the debauchery and drunkenness and anxiety of this age, how can we hope to escape? But there is a way given here, isn't there?
There certainly is, Chris. That way is, as the Lord said, to be watchful and to be all the time beseeching. All the time praying that we may prevail, we may have the strength of the resurrection life that is within us to escape the trend, the tide of this age, which is like a strong, swift current carrying everything along with it, that we may escape the tide of this age, and by so doing, escape that which is coming as a trial on the whole earth. That means the great tribulation.
Yes.
We can escape the coming tribulation by being watchful and by being beseeching. We need to watch so that we will not be swept away by the tide of the age. We will not be caught in the overeating, over-drinking, over-everything that's going on in today's society and the anxiety that accompanies all these things, that we could live a life in the Lord, in the Spirit, in the body of Christ, for the building up of the body of Christ, as Noah was there building the ark for his salvation. Today we need to be building up the body of Christ so that together corporately we can escape the coming tribulation. This is a very sobering word. On the one hand, as you said, it's also a hopeful word. There is a way for us to escape, but we need to take heed to this word of the Lord.
It will never be on the basis of our own strength, will it, Bob, that we could overcome such a tide that is carrying everything as we watch what is unfolding around us and probably even to some degree in our own homes and families.
That's right, Chris. Our watching and our praying enable us to become prevailing, not, as you said, in our own strength. We don't have the strength to resist the tide of this age, but we do have the resurrection life within us, which is powerful and makes us able to overcome the tide of the age.
Bob, in this final section, we want to pick up this matter of the rapture, whether it's once for all, before, after, during, you know, all of these questions that have perplexed believers and students of the Bible for centuries or ages now. But a key portion is in the verse I just read, and I will just mention this last little bit of verse 36 again. Prevail to escape all these things which are about to happen and stand before the Son of Man. We know the Lord comes to the air to meet His raptured believers, but here is a point that will perhaps turn the thought of many of those listening from what is the common prevailing understanding of the matter of the rapture. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
To escape means to be taken, that is, to be raptured before the great tribulation. To be thus raptured is to be kept out of the hour of trial which is about to come on the whole inhabited earth. This is the fulfillment of the promise the Lord gave to Philadelphia in Revelation chapter 3:10. To escape is just to be kept away from those 3.5 years. Before the great tribulation, the Savior will not come to the earth yet. And where he will be still on the throne. And from that time, a New Testament term will begin. That is his parousia, his presence, his coming. The parousia of Christ will begin from the throne. Once it begins, he will leave the throne to the air to take care of the rapture saints. But the early ones who will be raptured, like the 144,000 of the first fruits in Revelation chapter 14, they will be raptured to the throne of God to stand there on the heavenly Mount Zion. Then the Savior will leave the throne with them to come down to there to take care of the raptured saints, the others who will be raptured in that period of time. Hallelujah. In verse 36, there is surely the strong indication that the rapture will happen in this verse. That is, to escape all these things which will happen in the great tribulations. Not only to escape negatively, but also to stand positively before the Son of Man. Amen. Where the Son of Man will be, he still will be there on the throne. Then how could you stand before him but be raptured? You'll be taken away. Hallelujah. We will not remain here to meet Antichrist, to meet the great tribulation. We'll be raptured. We'll be taken away. This doesn't depend upon the Lord. It depends upon our watchfulness and praying. All the time, we have to be watchful and beseeching that we may be prevailing. We may have the strength and ability to escape. I like these three words. Prevail to escape.
Bob, the verse or a passage that's most often used to describe the rapture is in 1 Thessalonians 4, where it says that we will rise to the air to meet him in the clouds, or rise to the clouds to meet him in the air. But the verse that we've touched now in Luke 21, coupled with Revelation 14:1, says that there are those who stand before him at the throne in the heavens before he comes to the air. So we have an apparent discrepancy, but really there is no discrepancy if our eyes have been opened a little bit, is there?
That's right, Chris. There really is no discrepancy. According to Luke 21 and Revelation 14, those who prevail to overcome the stupefying effect of the overindulgence of this age and the anxieties of life will be raptured before the great tribulation. But these overcomers, they will be raptured to stand before the Son of Man, or as Revelation 14 says, to appear with the Lamb on Mount Zion. This Mount Zion is not on the earth, it's in the heavens. So these overcomers will be raptured to stand with the Lord at the throne in the third heaven. This is before he descends to the air. Now, the remaining believers who are remaining to pass through that hour of trial, the great tribulation, they will be raptured at the last trumpet. And as 1 Thessalonians tells us clearly, they will not meet the Lord at the throne in the third heavens. They will meet him in the air. So this is clearly portrays two different raptures or two different times of rapture, one for the prevailing, overcoming ones to be taken before the hour of trial to escape the great tribulation, the other for those who do not prevail and who do not escape.
Bob, a topic that is so intriguing, but not one that we want to approach just to have our curiosity satisfied. These are sober words of warning that should inspire us to beseech, to be watchful, to really be those who would overcome and prevail to escape. And he emphasized these three words, prevail to escape. There's a promise to those who prevail to escape, isn't there?
There really is, Chris, and I feel these are merciful words from the Lord, not words, as you said, to satisfy our curiosity, but to wake us up and to be a great help and encouragement to us to be faithful to the Lord, to seek the Lord with our entire being, with all of our heart, that we would be one with him and that we could stand before him in that day to escape all the things.
Bob, I can well imagine a lot of our listeners are hearing these words for the first time. They're trying to jot down verses and references. It shouldn't require too much of a push to encourage them to get these printed life study messages associated with this portion of Luke, where all of the references are there, the development, and you can study and dig into it for yourself, and I think many will want to. And my goodness, there's a lot of interest. People want to hear this. They've heard another kind of easy word for a long time, and yet this is striking a note of truth and reality, I think, in the hearts of all God's seekers who hear it. So we really feel honored and blessed to be able to bring this kind of ministry forth, don't we?
I certainly agree, Chris.
All right, our toll-free number, if you would like to contact us about getting this material, 1-888-543-3788. And our mailing address, Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814, or just simply send us an email to radio@lsm.org. That's it. I wish we had more time. Thank you, Bob.
It's been a pleasure, Chris.
For Bob Danker, this is Chris Wilde, and thank you very much for listening. Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. The focus of Living Stream is the works of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, two co-laborers with the Lord in China in the first half of the 20th century. After World War II, Witness Lee brought this ministry first to Taiwan, then later to North America, and eventually to the entire world. For more than 20 years, he spoke these life study messages, unveiling how each book of the Bible shows God's eternal plan. God, through Christ, wants to dispense his life and nature into redeemed man, so that man would become God's expression, enlargement, counterpart, and habitation. These studies go far beyond mere doctrine and unveil a personal, practical, and experiential Christ. In these short 26-minute programs, we summarize and condense Witness Lee's rich speaking. But to enjoy all the riches in these messages, we hope you'll visit our website at lifestudy.com. There, you can read all of the life study messages absolutely free of charge. You can even create your own life study reading schedule or download more life study audio programs just like this one, and all at no cost. Again, the website, lifestudy.com. Thanks for listening.